yet, which caught my eye, is Make It and Mend It. Now, what is Make It and Mend It?
Well, Make It and Mend It was a website that I set up with three colleagues, basically to encourage people to make things and mend them rather than always buying stuff and chucking it away, buying something new. And we started it in 2008, but now I'm in the process of winding down with it. We still have, we've got a big community on Facebook that is still thriving, but to be perfectly honest, none of us have the time to that is really required to devote to it. We had a book out about 3 or 4 years ago, which basically summed up the whole ethos. It's a beautiful illustrated guide to
Didn't that Kirsty Allsop woman steal her idea off you for all those TV programs?
I think she did. I think she nicked it. Yes, no, we have a huge following, and especially around about Christmas time, masses of people coming onto the website to find out how to, you know, for example, make their own Christmas decorations and how to make Christmas cake and Christmas pudding and that sort of thing. And then all around the year, we did everything from growing vegetables to making quilts.
Well, there must be a demand for this. So what a shame if it's just that, we're saying it's just that nobody's got the time,
It requires, running a website of that size requires a huge amount of resource. And I had, you know, my consulting and my writing and trying to fit that in, proved quite tricky.
Maybe at the 11th hour somebody will come along and rescue it and...
Yes, maybe.
Make something of it.
Yes.
And back to writing then, finally. There you were doing something entirely different, but wanting to write, and you made it happen. What are the absolute fundamentals you would pass on to anybody else listening to this now, who maybe is having a very nice life, but it's not quite the life they want because it doesn't involve being a professional writer?
I think anybody aspiring to be a professional writer has to realise that there is no such thing as instant overnight success. In fact, in most instances, there's no such thing as commercial success.
Yes. Yeah.
You can count the sort of Stephen King's and J.K. Rowling's on one hand, because the vast bulk of, according to the Society of Authors, the average earning of an author in Britain is significantly below minimum wage. It's about £11,000 a year. So anybody planning it as a get-rich-quick, I think, you need to think again, because it's a lot of hard work. And I think that there are, while anybody can write a book, there's a big difference between getting a book out and getting a book out that people really want to read and then want to go on and read your next book, etc. So, yes, to work.
Yeah, so you've got to have a great idea.
Yes.
To start with, and you either have a great idea or you don't have a great idea, really.
Well,
can you train yourself to have great ideas?
I think you can train yourself. But I think the fundamental requirement, I think, for being a successful writer, a good writer, a writer that people want to read, is being a reader. I think that is absolutely fundamental. There are so many people now who think, oh, well, I'll do a quick online course and just bung a book up there. And they've never really seriously read books themselves, so they have nothing to draw upon. And I think that you can really tell the difference between those writers who are really well read and the rest.
Sir Tom Jones, they say, how come you're still current? How come you're still a big star? And he says, I never stop listening. I listen to current music all the time.
Yes.
And I know where it is, and I could take a little bit of that and a little bit of, don't have to use all of it, but you know, you've got to keep putting that into the mix.
So absolutely.
Such like that, yes. Yeah.
And I think read across genres.
Yes.
I read lots of classical literature still. I don't just read historical. I read historical mainly because to just see what other people are doing and what I can learn from that. But I read detective fiction, I read literary fiction, I read the back of the cornflakes packet. I just love to read.
Mm-hmm. And finally, often when I'm talking to a novelist, they've either completely finished or they're well into their next novel. So where mm-hmm. do we find you at?
Okay, well, actually, you find me not living in Kintbury anymore, but I've just moved 3 months ago to Eastbourne. Oh. And I had no plans to write about Eastbourne, but I've already started a book which is set in the Second World War in Eastbourne, which I didn't know until I moved there. It was the most heavily bombed town in the southeast outside London.
And I didn't know that. That's very interesting.
And also had thousands of Canadian soldiers stationed there.
All right. So there's going to be some romance going on, is there?
Yes, I think so. Very well. There'll be lots of things going on.
Lots of things going on.
Yes.
All right, well, we better leave it there for now, but maybe we can have another chat when that one is out. That'd be really lovely.
That would be a pleasure, Bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. That's Claire Flynn. Her latest novel is The Green Ribbons, BBC Radio Barnsley.